Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NathBiogenes Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Deepika Sharma from Go India Advisors LLP. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Amshad. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call of NathBiogenes Limited. We have on the call Mr. Satish Kagliwal, Managing Director, Dr. Devendra Khurana, Executive Vice President, Mr. Amol Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Harish Pandey, Sales Lead, Dr. Venkatesh Kulkarni, Research Lead. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. May I now request the management to take us through the financials and the business outlook, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Deepika, and a very good afternoon to all the investors present. I extend you all a warm welcome to our Q2 and first half of financial year 26 earnings conference call. I'm Satish Kagliwal, MD of the company. Friends, the first half of financial year 26 has been a period that truly tested the resilience of Indian agriculture and also reaffirmed the strength of NathBiogenes. Despite uneven monsoons, erratic rainfall, and evolving market dynamics, our teams on the ground have continued to deliver consistent results and strengthen farmer trust in our products. At a time when climate unpredictability is posing serious challenges to our farmers, seed industry's role becomes even more critical. When our farmers are struggling to protect their livelihoods against nature's vagaries, we see it as our responsibility, not just an opportunity, to empower them, empower the farmers with seeds and technology that can withstand these uncertainties and still deliver good yield. This sense of purpose drives every decision we make at NathBiogenes, every innovation we pursue, and every field we serve. Our R&D and product development teams continue to make steady progress in enhancing product portfolio and creating hybrids that offer improved resilience to diseases and pests. This scientific foundation helps us stay true to our mission of supporting sustainable farming, even in the face of changing climatic realities. Despite the challenging environment, our operational performance in the first half of the current financial year remains stable. Our cotton business, the backbone of our portfolio, recorded steady growth supported by resilient demand and strong channel partnerships. Our flagship brands, Nath Sanket, Jumbo, and Rana, continue to perform well. However, the industry continues to be impacted by the spread of illegal BT cotton, illegal RRF cotton, which undermines the organized sector. As an industry, we are collectively urging the government to regularize the RRF trade to protect both farmers' interests and fair market competition. In paddy, we delivered a steady performance, maintaining our position in a mature segment that provides stable base revenue. Maize, as a crop, showed a sharp recovery with double-digit growth, supported by favorable crop conditions and strong hybrid acceptance. Bajra saw a moderate decline due to lower acreages and softer rural sentiment, though the overall portfolio impact remained limited. Our vegetable seeds segment emerged as the fastest-growing business, driven by higher market penetration, strong demand for hybrids, and consistent performance across key crops. Similarly, the plant nutrition solution, that is PNS segment, sustained its growth momentum, reflecting its importance as an integrated farm productivity solution. On the international front, our Uzbekistan joint venture, that is NAT Biogenes Central Asia Limited, continues to progress well with marketing activities and cotton production underway. The venture is witnessing encouraging results, strengthening our international footprint and creating opportunities for replication in neighboring regions. We are also advancing steadily on our innovation pipeline. Through our extensive product evaluation process, we have identified several promising hybrids across key crops that have shown superior performance and will be introduced commercially in coming seasons. From an industry standpoint, Kharif 25 witnessed acreages recovery in maize and paddy, while cotton was impacted by erratic monsoons and the rise of illegal seeds. Nonetheless, long-term industry fundamentals remain robust, supported by farmer awareness, hybrid adoption, and supportive government initiatives for sustainable agriculture. Looking ahead, we remain focused on driving diversification beyond cotton, accelerating high-margin product growth, enhancing operational efficiency, and leading innovation through our strong R&D. With a resilient portfolio, expanding international presence, and a farmer-first mission, NAT Biogenes stands well-positioned to deliver sustained growth and value creation in the years ahead. With that, I would now like to invite Mr. Amol Gupta, our CFO, to share the financials and operational highlights for Q2 and half year financial 26. Thank you very much.
Thank you, MD sir, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for H1 FY26 earnings call. Our earnings presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and the company website, and I hope you have had the chance to review it. Before we move into the detailed financials, let me briefly take you through the key operational highlights for H1 FY26. As MD sir has informed you that cotton reported a steady growth of around 6% YOY in volume, reaching 1.11 million packets, while the growth in volume is almost 26.3%, supported by healthy demand for our premium products like Sanket, Rana, and strong channel presence and the efforts of the team on the field. We hope it will continue to remain our key revenue driver. Paddy delivered a steady growth, a nominal growth in volume, but the value growth is almost 10%, highlighting the success in the strategy of the company for promoting hybrid paddy. The bajra shows some decline trend, primarily due to the lower acreage and uneven monsoon in the key area for bajra. Maize, a major crop even during this H1, shows a strong growth of 7.3% in quantity YOY. Also, the vegetable seeds continue to be our fastest growing segment, delivering almost 25% YOY value growth, driven by expanding market reach and strong farmer demands. These segments remain margin accretive. Nonetheless, the PNS posted 3.7% YOY growth in volume with 5.29% growth in value, encouraged by steady momentum in Winchivin, Wingoli, and Winpro, reflecting improved portfolio and consistent market performance. On the financial front, H1 FY26 revenue growth was 15.9% YOY, and it reaches to INR 3199 million, while gross profit increased 21.3% YOY, supported by richer product mix and improved margins. EBITDA rose by 5.7% YOY and PAT for the period increased 15.3% YOY to INR 424 million. The working capital increased from rupees 2837.45 million in HY1 FY26-25 to rupees 4134.69 million in H1 FY26, primarily due to increase in receivables from the customers and the increase in the inventory. The receivables will be recovered in the during the due course of the business, and the inventory will obviously come down by the sales in FY26. Looking at the segment mix, cotton and paddy together accounted for almost 74% in H1 revenue, while contribution from other crops including maize, bajra, jowar, mustard, vegetables continue to strengthen our diversification efforts. That concludes my remarks. Now the floor is open for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Majid Ahmed from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
I'm audible, sir?
Please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is, what were the main contributors for the 21.3% YOY growth in gross profit, sir?
Rice and cotton and maize to a certain extent.
Okay, sir. With cotton and paddy contributing 74% of revenue, how do you see the mix evolving in the future?
We have been trying to make Kharif and Rabi as 60-40. However, with the demand being generated for our cotton products on the entire country, as well as also of the paddy hybrids getting us good results, so we find that our cotton paddy portfolio is still rising and rising well. So maybe it would be still 70-30 H1, H2, a little more tilted towards H1 side. Vegetable, some part of mustard and nutrient supplement will be the basic contributors in H2. So you can correlate like that.
Got it. Sir, when I'm seeing you're able to have a good gross margin, but the problem is your EBITDA margin is compressed. So what are the steps are you taking to improve operational efficiency in the coming quarters, in lean quarters, like quarter two, you know, going forward?
The EBITDA margin reduces not because of the operational inefficiency of the company. We have always been maintaining the gross margins around 52 to 54% on an average moving left, right. Okay. But in order to clock enhanced sales, our marketing people have to give enhanced schemes to the customers. So that takes away quite a bit of my margin error, margin below the GP line. But we are now, once the marketing gets stabilized with new products, automatically the credit that goes to the market reduces, and as a result, the EBITDA and the net profit margin go up. But I would like to also maintain here that EBITDA margin and this net profit margin are almost the same, almost at a similar level as of H1 of last year.
Got it, sir. So how do you see the trends in the coming quarters where we can see the operating leverage, wherein your growth in revenues more than the selling expenses, and where we are able to see that? Like, what type of steps are you taking to move towards that?
In H2, the top line does not grow the way it grows in H1 because Kharif is always a major season for the country. The expenses are streamlined across the year. So as a result, in H2, what happens is that the profit margins are not as much as we find in Q1. That's the general trend in entire seed industry, and we have also been having that over last few quarters or few years.
Got it. So what type of steps or what type of seeds or different things that you're trying to bring in the market to ensure there is an evenness among other quarters going forward? Like, any kind of initiatives are you trying to do that?
I think this question of future, I will let the managing director, Satish, answer that. So would you please help him, sir? Hello, Kagliwal sir?
Can you repeat the question, please?
So going, like, my question, sir, is that going forward to ensure that we have a steady growth, like, even apart from Q1, what type of steps or what type of strategic initiatives the company is taking, sir?
You see, this industry is led by product innovation, product development, and product launches. So our effort and our strategy all along has been to develop products which are unique, which give more value to the farmer. And that means that we also grow in our business, not only in terms of value or volume, but also in terms of higher contribution, higher margin, better superior products, we can get better price. So our strategy has been simple. We are present, already present Pan India. We have a fantastic team. Now what we are doing parallelly has been to develop superior, better, unique, different products in all the segment that we are working in, and take them to the farmers, right? Now this involves huge concentration of time and money in R&D and also in marketing. Whenever you come with a new product, it requires more effort. So this is what growth phase is all about. Strategically, we are poised to develop and deliver superior products to enhance the top line as well as the bottom line. Okay?
Got it, sir. But can you give me some timelines or like to understand how this R&D can bring
it's an ongoing process. R&D is an ongoing process. Product development process takes a long time, and its evaluation also takes a long time. So we believe that every year there will be a significant improvement in the product portfolio. Our product basket will improve, and that should result into much higher value and distance. So it's an every year thing. I mean, it's a year by year. So I always say that next few years we'll be developing and launching several new products in practically all the segments. That's a strong pipeline we have. So it's the next 3 to 4 years time, you will see a significant change the way we are going forward. But that will be every year. Okay? Thank you.
And finally, sir, I have final question. How do you expect the working capital levels to trend for the rest of FY26, sir?
Sorry, please repeat it again.
Sir, how do you expect working capital levels to trend for the rest of FY26?
The stocks that have been accumulated this year, part of it, the one which is to be sold in Rabi, will be depleted. But that would also bring in more production for next year plus what we have this year. So the stock levels will be almost at the same level or maybe enhanced a little, which is manageable because that is for Kharif 26. Okay. As far as debtors are concerned, the debtors will be reduced two ways. One, by recoveries from the market. Secondly, we have around 100 crores of advance booking lying in our books, which has not yet been adjusted against the debit balances receivable. So that will take care of the debtors. So looking into this, the debtors will be reduced by recoveries and adjustment of advance booking, and stocks in any case will get depleted based on the sales subsequently in Rabi 2026 coming in the H2 as well as H1 of Kharif 2026.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for detailed answer. All the very best.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pratna from Neo One. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, you're there.
Okay, I just have a couple of questions. First is, what caused the decline in Bajra volumes and when do you expect improvement?
The decline in Bajra was marginal. It was not, decline is a big word. But I will let Mr. Harish Pandey, who is the marketing chief, to apprise you on what happened into the Bajra market this year.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Bajra market has declined last year because of several issues. Number one was the rainfall. The timing of the rainfall received very early in some markets. Some market had not received rainfall till July 15th or 20th. Right? So it's not a major decline. It's hardly 5 or 6% declined in the Bajra market. And in future, the way government is focusing on Bajra crop, right, definitely we are sure that Bajra will go up significantly.
Okay, all right. Next question is, what led to the sharp 17.3% YOY recovery in maize volumes during HY?
Ma'am, you are not absolutely clear. Can you get your mic a little closer, please?
Hello, is it clear now?
Better, okay.
I'm asking about the recovery in maize volumes.
Recovery in maize volumes? Increase in maize volumes?
Yeah.
That's around 17%. That's okay, na?
Yeah, but what are the reasons for that?
What are the reasons, Harishbhai?
Okay. So, major reasons are government is focusing on corn crop for fuel purposes, right? And other thing is, corn as a crop is a very stable crop for the farmers, right? Kharif crops are, let's say, palmlet or jowar or cotton, this is the most stable crops for the farmers. So farmers are getting benefited because of assured yield, number one. Number two, government focus and good price in the markets, mandis. Right. And if you see our products, we have two fantastic products. One is Dominator 401, two is 1133. Both are performing outstanding in the market. Right. Last year we have almost double both the products, and next year we are expecting at least we will be around 3 to 4 times of 25-26 sales. So this is what is the major reason. I hope you got my answer.
Yeah, sure. Just one last question. What are the key strategic priorities for the company in H2, FY26 and FY27?
Which priorities?
Key priorities. Like, what is your main focus?
Key priorities. Okay, fine. So you see, basically what Satish ji said was that research for us is an ongoing process. So that is one key priority, and that will continue to be our key priority till eternity. What? Secondly, quality is another key priority, because when we supply something, our basic logo says, Har Beej Khara Shakti Bhara. So khara is quality there. So we have to ensure that the quality is perfected every time. Every seed has to be good. Key point number two. Thirdly, farmer satisfaction. What we create is something which the farmers take. So they have to be satisfied with the yield of our products. If that is done properly, at that particular time, we are ensuring this, that the farmer satisfaction is there. Point number four, timely placement to minimize sales return. Now rains continue to play havoc either way. So our marketing team ensures or will continue to ensure or try and better ensure that the placement of the goods is done properly so that it minimizes the sales return, maximizes the top line as well as the bottom line. And lastly, we continue to have evolutions in the product mix of the company, in which we try and get better bottom line with minimal top line.
Okay, okay, all right. Thank you so much for taking my questions and good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay. How has the extended monsoon impacted seed demand? And do you see any shift in farmer cropping pattern? Also, do we see any bad debts because of this extended monsoon and uneven monsoon?
Let us divide this in two parts. One is, how is the monsoon going to affect the company as
seed
well
demand,
as the nation
yes.
as a whole? So I would request MD sir to please address this, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. See, since you have asked a very wide, big question, the answer is not that easy also. But let's say we have to be prepared for a monsoon like this. We always are prepared. So we are ready with different plan one, plan B. So crop shift, if it takes place, which normally takes place, we are ready to take on that kind of a thing, number one. Number two, there is no question of bad debt because we are dealing not with farmers, we are selling the seeds to our distributors. And distributors then take care of the sale and also collection from the farmers. That is the second part. Now, how this business is impacted? Definitely, cotton is impacted, one, because of the erratic monsoon, secondly, also because of this illegal BT thing I have told you about, and also a sentiment was not very much in favor of cotton. Like the sentiment in favor of maize was very good, but in case of cotton, it was not that good right from the beginning of the season. So cotton was impacted little negatively in terms of sentiment. Maize was impacted positively. Bajra continues to be a uncertain crop all along because it goes into areas where rainfall is not sure all along. Bajra is a crop where it is for a rain-fed area. Depending on the situation in the market, bajra crop fluctuates. So, to answer your question, we handle the situation, this kind of situation every time as usual by getting ready for the things to come. And we start preparing for the season almost 6 months in advance, you know, knowing the market, preparing for the outcome, meeting the farmers, understanding what they are going to plant. So we have a huge network of distributors as well as our own staff who are in touch with our ultimate consumer. And based on the feel and judgment that we get from meeting the farmers, etc., we get ready. And actually, it's like a celebration when the season comes. So we prepare for the celebration to happen right from January onwards almost till the season is over by, let's say, July end. Okay? I hope I have tried to answer a wide question from your side in as much less time as possible.
You also asked a question about bad debts, which are correlated to this. So we contemplate what might go wrong. So invariably the marketing people are prudent enough to shift the goods. So we don't expect any major bad debts coming because of the shift from monsoon. We are good with that. Don't worry.
Okay. And did you see any shift in the farmer cropping pattern? Was also part of the question.
Farmer's cropping pattern?
No, not much. Farmer cropping pattern is not changed much. So farmer is going with cotton, corn and paddy, the major distinct crops. And in Ravi, they are focusing more on mustard and wheat, followed by green peas and vegetables. So there is no much change. But yes, there might be changes in the duration of the hybrids. They may go for the long duration. They may go for the less distinct duration. That's all.
Okay. Okay. And what are the key demand drivers behind the 6.3 year-on-year growth in cotton volumes, despite erratic monsoons?
Demand driver is only the strength of the product, brother.
Yes.
If your product is accepted by the farmers, the demand automatically goes skyrocketing. The product becomes a privileged product, like our Jumbo, like our Sanket for that matter. These are the products which are demanded even when we don't have it. So the demand driver, I think, for any crop would be the strength of the product.
Different USP of our products is a key driver. If you see our product and compare with the market products, our products are superior to the competition and very different. If you count our number of balls in our hybrids are very more than 200-250, whereas the competition you will not find even 150 or 130-140. So this is the major reason of having this
product,
right?
Correct.
The product is strength.
Great. Okay, and how is the spread of illegal RSF BT cotton impacting the organized seed sector and your cotton business? And what is your expectation going forward?
Yeah, definitely it is impacting because, the farmers are using the other seeds. But if you see our sales and our hybrid performance, our growth, right? So definitely there is a problem with the, private companies, organized sector, but it is impacting overall. But if you see North, so we are not impacting much, and definitely next year, if you see our performance versus even RRF and whatever they say, 4G, 5G, this thing, our product performance is very different. But yes, definitely industry will definitely get the dent next year also by this 4G and RRF.
Okay. Now, just one more broader question. In case of the US-India tariff deal gets sorted and the GM seeds get an access to Indian market, how do you see that affecting our company and overall the seed business?
Firstly, let me clarify that GM seeds and tariff has got no correlation. Secondly, GM seed was here. Cotton, BT cotton is basically a GM seed. But now I would request Dr. Kulkarni to address this question. He is our R&D chief and the GM king. Kulkarni, sir?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. GM seeds originally which have arrived were from US and we have adopted them on a larger scale. In the coming years also, there is possibility that some more trials are going to be released in India and we are prepared for it. The GM seed and the tariffs have no correlation at all because it is a technology transfer based on the demand and based on certain set of financial rules. What North Biogen is preparing is to update itself in the new technologies, and I am proud to say that we are also generating GM crops. We are in the verge of getting some permissions from the government, and we'll let you know in the coming years. Our biotechnology team has cracked some codes, and we are doing that. As far as American tariffs are considered, we are not affected by those tariff increases, or even if there is some agricultural produce being imported in India, because it is a commodity business, not the seed business.
So what I wanted to say is that because of the tariff, I mean, if there was a US-India deal, not a tariff, but US-India deal, and if the GM market, seeds of the US comes to India, that is what I wanted to ask. But I think you answered it, and if they want to add something, then great.
Let me just summarize on this, please. GM is a national strategy technical matter. It has got nothing to do with the companies. We thought GM was here to stay when the cotton GM was allowed. But after that, lot many things happened. So it is a strategic issue. But personally, if you ask us, GM is here to stay, but when it comes to stay in India, it's not our forum, please. It's the government forum.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Saraf from Bowhead India Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand, you know, have you seen any cost increases in the cost of production for cotton, you know, especially this season or, you know, over the last 2-3 years? So if you could quantify that for me.
Quantification we can do, but if you go through our cost of production, whether it's the quantities, you'll be able to find out. But the cost of production in India has been on the rise for, I don't know, I think for so many years now. Every year it rises, and our top line in cotton at least is controlled by the government. So the margins reduce. We are lucky that cotton is not my only mainstay. So we are able to get other better margins from other crops, and we are able to, you know, do well as far as the bottom line is concerned. But cost of production is definitely increasing, and it increases constantly. The reason being that the land available is always less than the demand of the cotton production.
So I wanted to just ask, so has there been an increased trend in, you know, the increase in cost inflation that you've seen in the past 1-2 years, or it's been just like the past? That's what I wanted to make most clear.
Okay, you're talking of the rate of increase. It's almost same, It increases by about 5-10% every year. We are fine. We can handle that.
Okay. So secondly, if I were to look at the upcoming Rabi season, sir, do you think that, you know, because of these erratic weather patterns, or, you know, what happened in Kharif due to unseasonal rains or excess rains, could, you know, the appraisal for maize or rice get impacted anyway for the coming Rabi season?
Yeah, I'll give it to Mr. Harish Pandey.
What are you asking?
What will be the effect for monsoon and Rabi sales?
Okay, so Rabi sales monsoon effect, I mean, like, it would be positive, not negative. Because the wherever rainfall has been received, right, mm-hmm. it has impacted on Kharif crops. But as far as Rabi crops are concerned, all the crop acreages, either you take Rabi paddy or you take Rabi maize or Rabi bajra and wheat, except mustard, I believe all most of the crops will go up. So it's a positive sign, and it's a positive for us. Because the water level has increased. So what happened? Once the water level has increased, a farmer can go for the quality seeds, right? And by sowing the quality seeds, they will get the better yield out of per acre yield, this thing, right?
Right, understood. So, you know, there is also some talk about this, you know, harsh winters due to La Nina, etc. You know, could that impact the cropping patterns or the acreage, you believe, in any way?
Now, that would remain to be seen, you know, because monsoon is something which even Lord Indra cannot predict, you know. I am told that this year it is going to be a harsh cold. So, you know, that's something which is unfathomable as of today. But we are prepared for every exigency and every contingency. No issues.
So the farmer would not keep that in mind, let's say, when deciding whether to, you know, plant maize or rice or whatever be for the coming season. That's an eventuality whenever it happens.
You see, farmers planting depends on the kind of soil that he has and the kind of crops that he takes. Rabi, mostly it is vegetable with a little bit of wheat and mustard thrown in, and some part of bajra and maize. Now, that will depend on farmer to farmer. I think the farming community today is intelligent enough to take a call on what is going to happen. But the full effect of heavy winter, I don't think so. We are unable to fathom on that.
Cropping pattern won't change much, but definitely the crop acreage will go up.
Understood. So finally, you know, so you see on the Mondays, if there's been a sharp fall in the price of maize, you know, from the MSP, that is 23-24 rupees a kg, I think the Mandi price are at around 19 rupees. So would that impact maize acreage for this coming Rabi season? Do you believe in any?
No. There is no correlation, because it's all depend upon demand and supply. So when the demand is high, definitely, but after sometimes, definitely the price will go up.
We sell the seed, right?
Okay, that would answer my question. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order for the management to answer all questions, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Smith Vakharia from Master Union Investment Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
No, not me. I'm looking for the question.
Okay. I think the participant is not there. We move on to the next one. The next question is from the line of Gauri Surian from Findoc. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, good afternoon. So I wanted to ask, in the paddy segment, can you please share the mix of the hybrid versus the non-hybrid paddy for H1?
I don't have the data here, but you can say it is around. You see, quantity-wise, it will be, say, 40-60, and value-wise, it will be 60-40.
Okay.
Because hybrid, less quantities give you better prices, and in RS, more quantities give you lesser price.
Okay, got it. Also, additionally, if you can throw some light on the vegetable segment going forward.
Light in what sense, ma'am?
Like, the growth of the vegetable segment, how do you see that?
Okay. Pointedly,
okay. So, like vegetable sales, if you see the kind of rainfall received across the country from Assam to Punjab, Punjab to Coimbatore, right? So everywhere, good rainfall and the, you know, water level has gone up. So definitely farmer will go for the vegetable seeds, and next 5 months will be vegetable seed sales, and definitely it will help, and it will increase the vegetable sales next 5 months.
So next 5 months would be positive, right?
Yes, very much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Smith Vakharia from Master Union and Investment Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes,
sir, you are audible.
Hi. Congratulations on the results, sir. I just had a couple of questions. So I wanted to ask, how do you view industry's long-term demand fundamentals over the next 2 to 3 years, considering that GM might enter into Indian markets?
I think we just touched this issue on GM. Dr. Kulkarni touched and I touched.
I'll just try to summarize. I'll just try to summarize it.
Sure.
See, the tariff is allowing the, let's say, there is a pressure to allow GM corn, mainly GM corn or let's say GM soya seeds, not our seeds, but the grain into the country. Now, there is a separate system for permitting GM seed cultivation in the country. So far, the authority, GEAC, has permitted only cotton to be cultivated, which is GM crop in the country. And last approval for a GM trait was in 2006. There has been not even a new trait in cotton allowed since last 2006. So that's a different process. This is to allow GM grown
commodity
commodity to be imported into the country, because in U.S., the majority of corn production is GM. So since India has not permitted GM cultivation here, there has been resistance from our government not to permit that kind of a thing. But there is a pressure. So if they allow that support, that necessarily doesn't mean that we'll also permit the growing of that kind of a seed here, because that's a separate authority controlling the permissions for genetically modified seeds. Okay? So it has to be seen as to what kind of a concessions are being given, and there cannot be a blanket permission for any GM to be cultivated into country. It will be a permission only to import, not cultivate.
That is called
Got it.
A GM for consumption and GM for cultivation. GM for cultivation has not happened since 2006.
A GM for cultivation of cotton was only permitted last was 2006.
Yes.
There has been no further permission thereafter. And only crop where GM is permitted in India as of today is only cotton.
Understood. Got it. Yep. Also, my next question would be, can you provide us an update on progress of Uzbekistan joint venture that you have?
I have already mentioned this in my beginning speech, that we are making.
Oh, sorry, I joined in a bit late.
Yeah, so we have set up a team. We have made a plan. We have made a plan to evaluate our products there. That's going very well. Some of our products which are tested last season have performed exceedingly well. Now we are going for parallel production of the same seed also in Uzbekistan. We are also now working on creating a marketing structure to take these seeds to the farmers there. So it's progressing well in all directions. We hope to also expand into different crops in next year based on the trialing and testing of our different crops and crop products. Okay?
Understood. Thank you so much and wishing you best of luck ahead.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah,
thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers. So I had three questions. Like one was like about Aurangabad land, like what is the market value of the land? What is the company's plan to use this land? And second is about the patents, like what are the patents the company holds? And the third was about the debtors, like any material write-offs or write-backs in the last 2 to 3 years.
Can you just go a little slowly because you put all the three questions in jet speed?
Yes, I will ask one. First is
related to land. Make it one by one, I'll answer all three in one shot.
Yes, sir. So the first question is related to Aurangabad land. Like, what is the market value? What is the company's plan to use?
Let me answer that, please. Thank you. We are in the process of seed and seed cultivation. Aurangabad land is not for sale. It is with us. It is going to continue with us. It is only appreciated in value, not to be put to any other use. Second question?
Second question about debtors, like any material write-offs or write-backs in the last 2-3 years?
No, the last write-back was a few years back. That was kind courtesy COVID. The reasons were very obviously stated and well accepted by the market. Thank you very much. All of you understood this. No write-backs and we don't expect any write-backs in the coming futures. Next.
And the last question is, any like, patents that the company holds?
Patents, yes. Almost all of these products that we have registered under our name. So,
can you just quantify the number of patents?
Quantify.
Okay. Let me just try to give a little different answer. There is nothing like patenting of the seeds in the country. There is a Plant Varieties Protection Act, which gives us protection against our variety developed by us. So there is a process. And we have to go through the process of registration of our products there in the Plant Varieties Protection Act. Plant Varieties Protection Act, PVPFR is the full form, PVPFR. So we have several products which have been sent there for registration. It takes some time. And Doctor, do you remember how many are registered or how many are in the process of registration there?
There are about 12 under registration, sir.
Yes.
And we have planned, we have made a strategy now, whichever is going to enter in demo stage, we will send them for registration. This is the strategy accepted by them. And we are continuing to do it. And there are a large number of products awaited for registration. And some of them are in the process of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the best. Thank you for all the best.
The next question is from the line of Aarti Kamani from Avinash Mentor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, you can go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
So first question was, what is the growth outlook for the plant nutrition solution segment?
9451.
Yeah, I will request Harishji to brief on you.
Okay. So, PHN growth is expected because the kind of rainfall has been received, it is, you know, giving the positivity among the farmer community. So, they will go for the best product in the market and our PHN product like Vinciwin is giving the good yield support to the farmers. By applying our product, farmers are getting benefited. So definitely, the sales of PHN will go up in this next 5-6 months.
Okay. And how has the competition intensity evolved in cotton this season? And do you see market share gains for your leading brands?
Cotton? Market share, you're asking?
Yeah, market share gains in your leading brands.
Okay. We are, see, whatever declined in the, you know, traditional cotton sale or organized sector sales, I think we, along with other two, three small companies, we have only grown. Other companies are not growing because of our product performance, right? So our market share has been increased, and definitely, whatever we had, I'm not sure about the numbers, but we have grown around 10%-15% in Maharashtra only. In other states, I think we have grown in Gujarat also. We have grown in Andhra, sorry, Telangana, Karnataka, Maharashtra, and Gujarat.
Okay. And how is the R&D program helping address climatic unpredictability and crop resilience?
Doctor?
Very good question. We are actually taking this season as a very blessed season because all our varieties were subjected for high rainfall, and this selection environment is very rare to happen, and we have exploited this. In addition to that, we have biotic stresses, which we are addressing through establishing several hotspots across India. We are successful enough in identifying good products in okra, tomatoes, and gourds for different diseases. For abiotic stress, we have some spots wherein we conduct trials on a no-spray, no-irrigation basis to understand how the products perform under these stress conditions. With this, and we also have a very specialized program on heat tolerance because North Bayesian considers heat tolerance as a triad of global importance, and we are working on that. In addition to that, with the international institutes, we are working with them to develop and get the germplasm for heat tolerance. These are some of the strategies that we are following, and I'm very happy to say that we are finding the breakthrough in all these things.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That was helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subhash Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have generalized questions, sir, so kindly bear with me. Firstly, could you quantify your revenues in the coming two quarters, second half of this year?
Quantify?
Any range would you like to give revenue we could?
I can help. We can only give you the guideline on what might happen over year to year over last year, which I gave in the last time also. We are expecting around 15% upward. Now, what happens in Q2 is balanced on what has already happened in Q1, also H1.
So 15% growth we are expecting, sir?
Upper limit.
That's like not more than 15%, you're saying?
Yep. We have 6 months to make sales. Can anybody predict the exact number and exact percentage, boss?
No, sir, you don't get offended. The simple question is, the management must be having internal targets set for itself.
So I have given you the target. We are trying to clock 15% over last year. That is our internal target.
Okay. And secondly, sir, any guidance for the next year, next financial year, 27?
Maybe around 15%-20%, hopefully, if the products click better and the monsoon behaves.
And sir, we have not discussed our progress in Philippines. So would you like to tell us about that?
Philippines is currently on the hold because the government permissions are not coming through. So there is nothing much to bring about, so we have not touched on it, please.
So are we investing anything in Philippines, sir?
No. Not at all. We are only investing time and energy trying to get the permissions lined up. No money is being invested in Philippines.
Yes, sir. And sir, lastly, sir, our EBITDA margins have been decreasing year-on-year. So could you like to comment on that and any range you would like to guide?
I just touched it. I think you joined late. I just touched it that EBITDA, since we are maintaining our gross profit margin, EBITDA margin is reducing because we are trying to give more credit to the customers to enhance our top line. It is not affecting much of the bottom line. We are still quite comfortable. But
once the market gets stabilized, then we will not give as much credit to the customers as we are giving today, or to the trade as we are giving today. So that will help us to increase the EBITDA margin as well as the net profit margin. But the decreases have been marginal.
Okay, sir. And lastly, sir, you had an aspiration of 500 crore top line. So could you give us some idea till when we are going to achieve that 500 crores of top line?
If this year we cross 400, if this year we cross 400, then maybe next year we can buy for 500, but that would mean 15% this year and 20% next year. That is a tall call, but I will leave it to that. We will try. Let's see where we reach.
Thank you so much for answering my questions, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I would like to hear from management, because most of the investors, since from Corona, so there is no wealth generated. So what we can expect? Because if we even put FD, it will get double in 8 years, but it's more than 5 years, and there is no wealth generated for the investors. So I would like to understand from, you know, our Tiger Corona, so how he is going to take it further? Because he used to talk more, but you know, as part of investors, no one is happy.
Are you making this question personal, young man? Please don't do it.
Yes, of course.
No, you don't have a right to make it personal.
I'm a long-term investor. I have a right to ask. Okay, and
you have a right to ask. I will answer your question. Please don't make it personal. I just made that statement. Just stay within the protocols. Ask a question, and as management, we will answer that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Okay. Now you are saying that what is company doing for enhancing the wealth of the investors, because you are a very, very long-term investor. Okay. Please look into the data that the company is doing. We are growing in top line. Sir, let me answer that. We aren't arguing on this forum, please. Thank you very much. The company is growing in the top line. The company is growing in the bottom line. The company has put in more money in research and development. Products are accepted by the farming community. The cotton portfolio is enhancing. The rice portfolio is enhancing. So as far as the company is concerned, operationally, we are not lacking anywhere. That is my first part of the question. Secondly, the company is giving dividends year after year. I think this was the fourth or fifth year in which we have given dividends. And if the profits improve, maybe the dividend percentage will also increase. That is also going to the investors. Thirdly, you are expecting the share price to increase. That is something we do not interfere. We do not manage. Our job is only to do well in operations. What happens in the share market is not our concern. We don't bother about that. Okay? Promoters themselves are holding 50% and they don't look at the share market every day. So answering your question, we are there with the investors. Investors are there with us for a very, very long time. The markets have themselves been behaving erratically. We are not trying to create a market euphoria for Nath Baijin shares, because I don't think that is fair for the share investor. We will continue to do operationally better and better. If I touch 500, my bottom line will be say around 100. The EPS you can calculate, and P ratio, based on that you should know what is the intrinsic value of my price. Today I am quoted under the intrinsic value of the share price. I think we are okay with that. Stay on, hang on, don't panic. Thank you.
There is no panic, actually. So
okay,
why, you know, all big investors left if everything is good? This is what my concern, because I'm an investor.
I don't want to answer that question. Your share investment is your prerogative. You can keep, you can leave. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, I'll take this on, please. I'm Dr. Khurana, Executive Vice President of the company, and I've been here for quite some time, as my last Vaktava said that. At the outset, let me thank every investor that has been with the company for last so many years. Every company has its ups and downs. We had ups, then we had downs around the COVID period, and we are up again. Secondly, the company is putting in all-out efforts and burning midnight oils to ensure that our products are well accepted into the market, which is evidently evident in the top line enhancement, irrespective of the fact that the industry as a whole is reeling under monsoon erraticness. Thirdly, I am thankful to all of you for having attended the conference and asked pointed questions. The questions are always an eye-opener for us, and they are the pointers for which we have to do better over a period of time. And lastly, let me rest assure everybody here and through your forum to everybody who has invested in our company, we will continue to ensure better and better year after year. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of NATH Biogenes Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.